Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of Into the Universe with me, Michael Lang. I'm actually going to call this episode 2.1, as I'm going to be discussing the inner planets, and I'll be talking about the outer planets in the next episode, which will be episode 2.2, I suppose. I haven't decided whether to incorporate the dwarf planets into the next episode, or provide a separate episode for those as well. I just want to add that these podcasts won't appear in any precise periods of time. As I have to research the areas as I go, I can't guarantee that they will be weekly or fortnightly basis. I will, however, do my best to get them out as frequently as possible and hope that you stay with me on this journey. Anyway, back to today's topic, planets, or to be more specific, the inner or terrestrial planets. But before I discuss the planets individually, I want to take a moment to look at what planets are and how they are formed. So, what is a planet? Well, according to criteria established in 2006, a planet must have the following characteristics. It must orbit the Sun, remain spherical by the pull of its own gravity, and be big enough to clear other objects from its orbit. Many of you will be aware that Pluto is no longer classed as a planet. This is because it fails on this last requirement. Pluto is now classified as a dwarf planet, along with Ceres, found in the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, Haumea, Makemake, and Eris, which are all located in the Kuiper belt, along with Pluto. Okay, so now we know what they are, but how are planets formed? Well, planets begin their formation when stars are born. As I'll discuss in a future episode, stars are formed out of large clouds of dust and gas, which come together under gravity. Now, eventually a star will be born at the centre of this vast cloud and it will start to rotate. The collapsing cloud of dust and gas will pick up momentum and flatten out, similar to the rings of Saturn. So, we now have this vast disk of dust and rock and gas and ice. And you can divide this disk into an inner disk and an outer disk. The inner disk is primarily made of rock debris. The Sun has absorbed the gases and the ice is melted due to its proximity to the Sun. As it spins in one direction, the rock debris begins to bump into each other and merge to form larger rocks. As they grow in size, they start to form a gravitational pull. This starts to attract nearby debris, which joins up with increasing size. Eventually, they become planetesimals, what you and I refer to as planets. In time, they clear a path around the Sun and gain a somewhat clear orbit. Now, the same thing happens to the outer disk. However, due to the distance from the Sun, there are still vast amounts of gas and ice out here. As a result, the planets form to usually gas or ice giants. They are able to pick up much more debris, resulting in much larger planets with greater distance between themselves. There is no better way of observing this than by looking at the distances between Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. Mars, the furthest of the inner rocky planets, is 141.6 million miles from the Sun. Jupiter, the next planet and the first of the outer planets, is 483.7 million miles from the Sun, three times that of Mars. Saturn is then another 400 million miles further than Jupiter. This increase in distance is evidence of how they are formed and the effect the planet's size has on its distance from other planets. Now I want to focus on the four inner planets, known as terrestrial planets because they have a solid surface. They are Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars, and are located within the first 141.6 million miles of the solar system. Interesting when you think that the first four planets are located within the first 5% of the solar system, Neptune being 2.8 billion miles from the Sun and the furthest of the eight planets. So the first planet we come to is Mercury, named after the Roman god of commerce. Mercury has an average distance of 35.9 million miles from the Sun. However, its orbit is elliptical, so the actual distance can vary. Mercury has no moons and has an equatorial circumference of 15,329 kilometers. Mercury rotates on its axis every 58.6 Earth days, the second slowest of all the planets, and takes just 87.9 Earth days to orbit the Sun. Due to its own slow rotation and thin atmosphere, Mercury has the greatest surface temperature ranges of all the planets, from -173 degrees centigrade to 427 degrees centigrade. This is understandable when considering that the slow rotation of the planet means that one side of the planet's surface is facing the Sun for a long period of time, whilst the opposite is out of the Sun for the same period of time. Mercury's gravity is 3.7 meters per second square, which means it can't hold on to an atmosphere which is blown away by the solar winds from the Sun. This is why you see such varying temperature change on Mercury, because there is no stable atmosphere to retain the heat. It is because of this that Mercury isn't the hottest planet in the solar system, despite being the closest to the Sun. That title goes to Venus. There is, however, a constantly replenishing atmosphere, primarily made of carbon dioxide, nitrogen, and oxygen. Mercury is the second densest planet in the solar system, after Earth, due to its makeup of heavy metals and rock. It is a metal core which occupies 42% of its volume, and was only recently discovered that the core is actually liquid. As a result of this, Mercury has a magnetic field. However, it is thought to be only 1% the strength of Earth's magnetic field. It is also worth noting that Mercury is the smallest planet in the solar system, thanks to Pluto's demotion to a dwarf planet. Up next we have Venus, named after the Roman goddess. It is 67.2 million miles from the Sun, but also has a slight elliptical orbit similar to Mercury. It rotates on its axis every 243 Earth days, and orbits the Sun every 224.7 Earth days. This means that a Venus day is longer than a Venus year, and it is the only planet in the solar system to have a longer rotation period than orbit period. Venus has no moons and has an equatorial circumference of 38,025 kilometers. Venus is also the only planet to spin clockwise rather than anti-clockwise. As a result, if you were to stand on Venus's surface, the Sun would rise in the west rather than the east that we are used to on Earth. Venus is actually the second brightest object in the sky, behind the Sun and the Moon. Known in ancient times as the evening star and the morning star, it was originally thought to be two different objects. A Greek astronomer realized that it was actually the same object and was appearing over the horizon. Its atmosphere is 93 times the mass of the Earth's atmosphere, causing a much greater pressure at the surface. In fact, standing on the surface of Venus would be equivalent to being 1 kilometer under an ocean on Earth. The atmosphere itself is made up of 96% carbon dioxide and has high amounts of sulfuric acid, which cause sulfuric acid rain. The carbon dioxide composition causes a greenhouse effect, creating a near static temperature of 460 degrees centigrade, the hottest in the solar system. So, despite its slow rotation period, the efficiency of its atmosphere enables the planet to retain heat, whether it is facing the Sun or not. Venus is also sometimes referred to as Earth's twin. It is 95% the radius of Earth, 81.5% the mass of Earth, and has 90% the gravity that Earth does. There are plenty of differences, though, to rebut this analogy. Now we come to planet Earth, our home planet, the blue planet as it is sometimes called. Earth is a truly remarkable place, one that I think a lot of people take for granted. It is the only planet known to support life, existing in what is known as the circumstellar habitable zone, a region around a star in which planetary mass objects with sufficient atmospheric pressure can support liquid water, the key to sustaining life. There is so much which I could discuss about Earth in this episode, but it would take far too long. What I might do is a spin-off episode dedicated to our home planet, where I can go into more detail. For now, I'll stick to the general facts, similar to those I'm covering with the other planets. So, Earth is approximately 93 million miles from the Sun, has a rotation period of 23.9 hours, and orbits the Sun every 365.2 days. It is because of this additional 0.2 of a day that it takes to orbit the Sun that we have a leap year every 4 years. This is except where the year is divisible by 100, for example, 2100, unless that year is divisible by 400, for example, the year 2000. Earth, of course, has one moon and has an equatorial circumference of 40,075 kilometers. Earth is the only planet in the solar system with plate tectonics. It is because of the movement of these plates and erosion on our planet that there is a limited visible history of our Earth. The early periods of our planet are not visible in impact craters, etc., because they have been worn away, meaning that it's hard to pinpoint when Earth was actually created. It is believed to be around 4 billion years ago. Earth is almost spherical in shape. However, the rotation around its axis makes it bulge at the equator, resulting in the diameter at the poles being 43 kilometers less than that of the equator itself. Earth is 32.1% iron, 30.1% oxygen, 15.1% silicon, and 13.9% magnesium, along with certain other elements. The core is 88% iron, and it is believed that the rotating outer core creates convection motions which generate electrical currents that create the magnetic field. The magnetic field extends out thousands of miles from the surface of the Earth and protects us from the Sun's solar winds. It is this interaction with the solar winds which cause the north and south auroras. The atmosphere extends to about 10,000 kilometers above the planet's surface. However, over 75% of the atmosphere is contained within the first 11 kilometers. After this, the air becomes too thin to support most life. The atmosphere is primarily composed of 77% nitrogen and 21% oxygen. The presence of carbon dioxide creates the greenhouse effect, which raises the average surface temperature by approximately 35 degrees centigrade. Our closest companion in the solar system is the Moon, which is the second brightest object in the sky behind the Sun. The Moon is probably best known for causing the tides that we see here on Earth. The Moon's gravitational pull on Earth creates two bulges along a direct line with the Moon, causing two high tides a day. Due to the speed at which the Earth and the Moon rotate in comparison with each other, there are two high tides. The Moon is the only other celestial body after the Earth which mankind has set foot on. A total of 12 men have walked on the Moon between the periods of the 21st of July 1969, when Neil Armstrong became the first man on the Moon, through to the 14th of December 1972, when Eugene Cernan was the last astronaut back on Apollo 14, becoming the last man to have been on the Moon. The most widely accepted theory as to how the Moon was formed is that a Mars-sized object crashed into the Earth, ejecting material into orbit. Some of this material came together under gravity to eventually form the Moon. This would explain why the Moon is made up of predominantly lighter elements, because they came from the Earth's crust. Finally, in this episode, we have Mars, named after the Roman god of war. Sometimes we refer to Mars as the red planet because of its apparent color. This is caused by large amounts of iron oxide which cover its surface and rise into the atmosphere, reflecting the red part of the light spectrum. Mars is 141.6 million miles from the Sun and has a rotation period of 24.6 hours, almost identical to Earth. It also has a similar tilt on its axis, 25.2 degrees, compared to Earth's 23.4 degrees. Mars orbits the Sun in 686.9 Earth days and has an equatorial circumference of 21,344 kilometers. The atmosphere on Mars is very thin, only 1% as thick as Earth's, and it is therefore much colder than Earth. The atmosphere's composition is primarily carbon dioxide. Because of the thin atmosphere, water cannot exist on the surface of Mars. There is, however, ice in the polar regions. It also has a low gravity compared to Earth, being about a third of that felt here on Earth. Mars boasts two records in the solar system, one having the largest mountain, known as Mount Olympus, which rises 3 times higher than Mount Everest, and two, it has the longest and deepest chasm in the solar system, the Valles Marineris, which is 4,000 kilometers long and up to 7 kilometers deep. Compare this with the Grand Canyon, which is 46 kilometers long and 2 kilometers deep, and you can see the significance of this. Mars has two moons, Phobos and Deimos, named after the sons of Eros, the Greek god of war. So, there you have it, the inner planets of the solar system. Next time, I will continue with our exploration of the solar system with the outer planets, as well as possibly covering the dwarf planets, depending on how much I discuss. Like I said, I might also come back to the topic of Earth at some point. If I do this, though, it will probably be later on in the podcast as a kind of side episode. I hope you've enjoyed exploring the first planets with me, and I hope you'll join me next time on Into the Universe.